Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hi, guys. I am on today on backup plan because technology does what it does. but I have Reese Halliday here calling in from Australia. Really excited to get this call in. We got to chat a little while ago, and I was just so excited after I spoke with him about all the things that we got to talk about. But really what he is or does is he's a relationship mentor, and he works really with the idea of, right, the intimate dance between the masculine and feminine energies. And so you guys just get to sit back and kind of listen to us jam, but I have to ask you, because you know that I think I touched on this last time, that soccer is kind of a big thing in my life. And I don't know how much of a role it has in your life, but, like, do you know, like, what's, like, if I say Sam Kerr, like, what does that, do you know her? Like, of her?
No.
Okay.
I know of her, but I don't actually know her. Like, I've been in and out of the soccer realm for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
I used to be really in it, but now I've taken a bit of a step back.
Yeah. So. Cool. Yeah. Like, what do you think of her? I'm just curious because, like, the perspective I'm sure here in America, like, on her is different than the perspective where you are, where she's actually at the forefront all the time.
Honestly, like, I think she's a legend of a person. Like, nothing else I can really say much about her. Like, she's a strong woman. She does what she does.
Yeah,
it's good to see that someone's, like, stepping out as much as she is, and it's great to see.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I had to ask. I had an opportunity to see her play back in April. It was pretty cool. It was pretty fun to watch. Okay. So on to what you usually do, like, what your actual jam is. Relationship mentor. First of all, I think that's a really great description, right? So, like, what does that mean to you, or what does that look like? Like, how do you, or how do you use that to help people?
So, the way I use that to help people is, the biggest thing for me is allowing people to understand, like, the difference within how to show up as the person they want to be, but still be able to hold the space and allow that person to come in that they really want to call in. So what I do is I really help people create their idea of what their soulmate is, and then shift their energy and play with the different energies to not only, like, build their business or build their career, but also shift back and forth so that they can call in that soulmate, so they're not always in the energy that's basically pushing away that one that they want to call in.
Okay. So you said a couple things there that I would love to dig in on. Like, one, you said show up, which, if for any of you, if you're listening, I assume you follow me to some degree. I talk about showing up all the time. Like, you know, you have to show up for yourself. You have to show up for others, and how you show up matters, right? So I love that that's a way in which you approach this. But when you talk about energies and how you end up then pushing away that which you want, right? Can you just talk about that a little bit? Like, what? In what way, or how do we not do, you know, like, obviously quick and dirty, right? Like, what does that look like?
So what I've started to realize is with all this big boss lady movement and all that, like, it's really empowering to see what I'm starting to realize is that a lot of the feminine is actually stepping very strongly into their masculine to get stuff done. And all they want is that masculine king to come into their life. There's no room because they're taking it all up. They're not leaving that space for them to come in. And that's how they energetically push them away. Or they find that person who is that. And because that man or that woman, whatever it may be, wants to come into their life, they actually switch into polar opposites. So the whole thing of like opposites attract is completely true. Like the masculine will always attract the feminine will always attract the masculine. But if you're wanting a masculine and you're standing in your masculine, you're not going to be able to attract that.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And I love that you talk about that in terms of how each being, right, has both of those things. And so it's how you're tuning into those and using those. So, I think that's such a good point. Like when you have to complement, you have to have that balance. And if it's not there, it forces itself in a way, right? Yep. Like that. Yeah, and so things start shifting, and not necessarily in good ways because now it's a forced thing. So, how do you step into that balance really well? How do you show up in that way for yourself and for yourself to create that space, like you talked about, to create a space for your soulmate partner to come in?
So the biggest thing is to actually indicate where it is that you get to show up in those different energies. It's like when you're in your work, in your genius zone, that's when you get to step into your masculine energy, your warrior energy, your queen, your king, whatever it may be, to get it done.
Yeah.
Like to get the work done, get in there, get it done.
Yep.
Whereas a lot of people forget to allow themselves to fall back into that feminine and really just receive and be with themselves and relax. The biggest thing I find is that the way I see it is like the masculine is very much in the giving sense of things,
okay,
and the feminine is very much in the receiving.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If we're not open to receiving, we're always going to be stuck in that masculine. So sometimes it's just about that self-care. So allowing yourself to receive, even if it's just from yourself, like coming home after work and going and having like a really nice long bath or lighting some candles and you're sitting there and having yourself a nice candlelight dinner by yourself, it like just something that switches you back into that very sensual side of you and switches you off from that king and that queen. You switch back into your lover, your mystic, you meditate, whatever it is that you enjoy doing. To center yourself, basically, is the best way to put it, and care for yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I do find is, like, with all these movements, with the empowerment movements and the self-development and all, like, all these entrepreneurs and that, they're all business all the time because it's, like, the hustle. They got to hustle, they got this, they got that. And you get so caught up in it. You end up, what I find is you end up not being productive because you're trying to be in it all the time and you get stuck in it, that you don't give yourself a chance to receive the gifts that hustle is actually giving you.
Yeah, that's real.
And then also be able to switch and really sit in it.
Yeah, no, that's so relatable. So at the new year, everybody, you know, is like, oh, resolutions and whatever. And I try to set some sort of intention or at least think about it, but I the resolution thing I find to be really crazy making, and also I don't feel like I'm like trying to create my new self. Like I'm just trying to step into who I am. And so there's just a lot there, but the one thing I wanted to do, because I was watching exactly what you're describing, right, as an entrepreneur going, okay, like, Got to do this. And I'm never really off. And that is the one thing in January that I really made a concerted effort. Like, okay, I'm going to be more intentional about self-care and time, like balancing that time, and not necessarily balancing it in like 50-50, you know, like that, but balancing it in that idea of, yeah, I can work really hard for this many hours and rest or relax or whatever. Yeah. But when I do that, I need to be completely in it. And part of that was recognizing what that thing is that helps me shift from here to here. Like, what helps me go from working Susan to like just Susan. And it's hard. I think to what one of the ones things that I've found for myself personally, and I don't know, like, I'd love to hear what your kind of thoughts on this, but like that the amount of times it takes me to transition makes it really hard in a regular weekend for me to do that. Because like Friday night or Friday when I'm done, I don't flip that switch very well. Like, it's not a quick process for me. And so I feel like it's not really until like Saturday night before I've really fully gotten into that place where I'm checked out. But because I know I'm starting again Monday morning, sometimes Sunday I start to go into this thing in my head where I'm with the checklist and the what's on my calendar and that. Yeah. So I'm like, there's this very little window where I feel like I'm getting it, or was getting it. And I've been really more intentional about that and going, okay. And one of those things truly has been like going, no, I'm putting these things on my calendar. And then I don't have to worry about them again, because guess what? My calendar is going to tell me, like, you know, on Monday morning, my calendar is going to say, hey, you've got this thing in an hour. And I'm going to be like, oh, okay. in trying to, for me, use technology in that way to help me step back from that and to go, no, I don't have to carry this all in my head. I don't have to have my whole thing memorized, because it's there. I can write it down and I can put it there with an alert. but just really that idea, right, of like trying to switch into that, like, because I'm always coming up with ideas. And especially in these moments where I am really relaxed, that those creative juices start flowing, and then I'm like, I'm like, no, but I have all this energy around it right now and I want to step into it. So what does that look like? Like, how do you transition into that space really well? Or how do you help people, guide people so that they are transitioning into that space really well?
So what I mainly do is like transitioning into your days off. So like you're on a day off sort of thing. Usually what I suggest is you set an intention and you set an intention and you go for a swim, a bath, or a shower, because the water will instantly flow, like flush off any, like cleanse you and get rid of any of that energy that's there. So it'll get that staggered energy. It'll freshen you up. So if you set the intention to walk into that and get into that water, knowing that you're going to switch out of that mode and into the, it's time to relax, it's time to be this and that, then it makes a massive difference in that way. As what you were saying with the whole, like, when you are in the most relaxed state is usually when you have a lot of the ideas come through, because you're not, like, trying to think of everything at once. It just sort of just happens.
Yeah.
Me personally, I got one of the best tips from one of my mentors, and it was literally your notes in your phone.
Yes.
So you got to do it. It comes into your head. You jump onto your phone. If you're in a conversation or something, you can easily, especially if you're with a conversation with someone that knows you, you can easily just go, look, I've just got to write this down quickly before I forget about it. Write down a note, write down like dot points, whatever it may need to be, just to prompt you to do it, and then turn it off and go back to that conversation, go back to that relaxing mode, and just remember that your intention for the weekend was to be relaxed and just enjoy it and receive and reset. And then when it comes Monday, you can look back through your phone and you've got all those ideas still there. You haven't forgot them. You can action them. It's just about understanding that those ideas are there and the work's not going anywhere. So So why rush yourself into it and create more confusion in your brain and cloudiness if you're not giving yourself the time to relax and refresh and reset? Those ideas don't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
And also having the understanding that without getting into those relaxed states, those ideas necessarily wouldn't have dropped in.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. You're like in my head. No, I was just laughing as you're saying that, like, because it's so true. Right. And, I had just like this really great weekend and did a good job of relaxing, did a good job, right? Because I'm grading these things now, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, I actually felt like, oh man, like I'm not on this work thing right now. Like I'm really like just here. I'm really present. And, but that was front end of the weekend was other things. But yesterday, a friend invited us up to her cottage on the water, and which is always one of my favorite places to go. Like, the space is just, there's an amazing energy there. But we were just out on the water all day, and we're coming back, and I'm like, one, I'm gonna sleep so hard tonight. Like, I'm gonna sleep so well. Like, but I'm like, I'm tired, but just in that like really good way. That like,
yeah.
I'm tired and energized at the same time. And like, probably, I mean, I did sleep really well last night. Like, I didn't wake up at all. And like, woke up when my alarm went off this morning. I was like, and here we go. Like, it was such a different, you know, it's that thing where I'm like, okay, and now my whole week takes that tone, right? Like, the consciousness going into the week is, I'm refreshed, I've got this energy, there's this thing, and at the end of the week, I get to do that again and build that up. And it's, and I love what I do. It's not oh, this is such a grind, I hate my work. Like, I love what I do. And that's part of why it's hard to create those boundaries sometimes, right? Because you love it so much.
And that's the thing. Like, I have a thing with, like, I always change this wording on it. Like, if it's something that you love to do, it's no longer work. It's not a job. Like, it still takes work, but it's no longer work. It ends up being a vocation because you enjoy it so much that it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
Which, like you say, is where it becomes difficult to create those boundaries and switch those ideas and stuff like that. And my biggest thing is, like, that also shows up a lot in relationships as well. It's like, you're setting those boundaries, but then because it's such a loving and open thing and you're just all in it and all that sort of stuff and you feel so good about it, you get caught in this space that you you start to sort of become one and you forget where your boundaries are and where theirs are. Like, it's the same sort of thing with, like, when you're doing your work, anything like that. Like, your boundaries are very, you've got to stick to them. Like, you got to go, like, this is my boundaries. I'm setting this intention to do that. And the way that I find to help with that is to actually really understand what your core values are and what your mission is. Like, when it comes to work, like the work, the job, whatever you want to call it, like, whatever your mission is and your purpose is, that's enough to allow you to go, sweet, I got to set this boundary so then I can tap into this energy and this clarity to push through for the rest of the week. When it's in a relationship, it's like, I need to know my core boundary, my core values, and those core values will actually create those boundaries of where you're willing to step within a relationship and also have the understanding of being able to communicate those boundaries and that values to your partner. So then you can, like, and then have them do the same thing. So then you can create that flow within those two energies and continue to build on a much greater like relationship and partnership in the future.
Yeah, that is powerful right there, right? Like really, truly, like that idea that it's just shifting and flowing. And but if you don't know what you're trying to do, if you don't know who exactly, you are, yeah. If you haven't said this is what I'm creating and this is where my priorities lie, that just is flowing however it's going to flow, which is good to let things go naturally. But at the same time, there can be a level of unbalance in that.
There definitely can be, because if one person gets caught in a certain energy, the other person will get stuck in the other one, like in the opposite one, and it's not necessarily what they need. So like for me, like I was in a relationship where my partner was a very strong-minded and like really like masculine energy. So automatically, like my whole being, without thinking, like I shifted into that feminine, and didn't know how to be in my masculine, because I wasn't in it for so long. But then when I left it, and then trying to create something in my life and find that other partner and lots of stuff, I found it really hard to realize that I wasn't able to shift into my masculine, because one, I hadn't found out what my core values were, and then two, because I didn't know them, I got lost within the relationship within my partner. I mean, like we became like our energies became so intertwined that I didn't know which was mine and which was hers.
Yeah.
So I thought I was in the masculine, but I was nowhere near it. But you don't realize that until after it's sort of torn away from you. Right. Where you're actually sitting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real struggle, right? Like, truthfully, like, how did you come to realize that then? Like, what was your sort of, or was it sort of a process, or was it more of a, like, aha moment, like, of, like, ooh, like, that's what's going on there?
There was a bit of a process in it. However, the starting point to that process was I actually read a line in a book that said that you were 100% responsible for everything you bring to the table. So when I saw that and then started delving into my personal development, I realized that, like, yes, she was in her masculine, but that was also because I was unable to shift into that. And then I was in my feminine because she was unable to shift into her feminine. So it was like understanding that and realizing that I played a big part in myself showing up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a process of how can I catch that? How can I like see where I'm not stepping into that part of me where like – and it does take some time. It does take some processes. Like, there's a lot of like – it's like playing catch with your ego, pretty much. it's the same sort of thing. Like you're throwing the ball, and then you just like you're hoping that you find like it hits the ego and your energies, so that you can like, oh, okay, so wait, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can bring that in and shift it and play with it. And that's the biggest thing. It's like people think I know a lot of people like. I've seen a lot of relationship coaches coming through when they're like, oh, the perfect words to say to attract someone to this, to that. There's no perfect thing to it. It's all a process. There's always a process within it. It's always work. There's no perfect one-liners that's ever going to make someone fall in love with you.
Right. Well, it's all journey, right? Where it's a journey. Yep. And that's, you know, and that's what I talk about all the time is rock your journey. Like your, first of all, it's yours. But it's also journey. It's not this static thing. It's very dynamic.
Yeah.
And you're always moving and you're always flowing. And so, you know, the energy is the masculine energy and the feminine energy in you. Like, that shifts over time at different points in your journey. Like, you'll be more in this and less in that. And that's part of balance too, right? Like, that it's not just like, oh, like, I am 49% this and 51% this, and it's all good, and that's just how it is for me. Like, no, like, that changes. Like, when you're doing that, like, full on work thing, right? Like, even if you love it, the work part of the work thing, right? Like, it, you know, it does. You're in this space where you're more stepping more into the masculine. And you step back out of that, and that ebbs and flows, but also, like, not just in your day to day, but from month to month or year to year, or your relationship with this human versus that human.
Like, it shifts. It honestly shifts every couple of seconds.
Nice.
And I don't think people, there is some people out there that understand that. And then there's some people that don't quite, because like you say, balance. In my eyes, balance doesn't exist, because there is no way to be exactly in the middle of everything. There's no way to be even and balanced in your masculine and feminine. It just doesn't exist. The only way you can do it is to shift in and out of it.
Okay.
And that's the only way that you can create a sort of balance. And that's why I always say that it's not really about balance. It's more about flow and that intimate dance between the two. Because like you say, like, when you step into that work stuff, you're stepping into your masculine because it's the get stuff done, it's this, it's that. Your feminine is all about your surrender, like surrendering to the universe, like wanting to receive, stepping into that, like, a very sensual being that you are, the one that just loves to be loved, basically. Mm-hmm. And the man's the one that's like, the masculine side's the one that just sort of steps in there and goes, yep, sweet, I've got this together. Defends everything that you are, will go after the stuff that you want, will manifest, will take the action. I mean, like, that's, like, you can't physically be both at the same time.
Right.
Like, you can shift and be like a part warrior but a part lover, but it just depends on what your goals are in life, basically. Like, if you really want to achieve, like, really big entrepreneurial success, there's your king and then your warrior, and they're the two that will get the stuff done for it. But then once you take the action, you've also got to then shift back into your feminine to surrender to the universe, to know that that's going to make the impact and the people and the products and whatever it is that you're trying to, like, you're getting out there, the service will get to the right people for them to eventually grow and the impact to work.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love, so one of the cool things that I've been just sort of noticing, right, being attentive to lately, is so many different leaders and mentors and coaches and, like, people in this very conscious kind of entrepreneurship, right? Like, in conscious businesses. But who are all describing the same thing in different terms. And it's really, I don't know. Like, it's really cool to see. And also, to me, just speaks to, like, something that has kind of settled in with me, I don't even know, years and years and years ago, like, that, you know, like, truth is truth no matter what its source is, right? And so those ideas and those concepts, we think about them in different terms, not because all of those things aren't true, but because they are true, but also because all of those things speak to different people in different ways. Certain people, you know, are going to register and hear what you're saying more when you're talking about it in the terms of masculine and feminine energy, right? Like, some people, that's what they need to hear, and that's how they'll hear it well. And other people hear it really well when you talk about it you know, in different terms, you know, consciousness and level, you know, energy levels and leveling up and, you know, whatever it is, just the different things. But at the core of all of them, they're saying the same things. And it's just like that, like that makes me so, I don't know, like I find such, I guess, comfort almost in that, that like that reassurance that there's a million right ways to do it. And like, not that there are no, like, not to say that there aren't wrong ways of doing these things, but there are a million right ways to do them.
Yeah, that's for sure. And speaking into that is actually something that I've been talking to a few of my mates about the last couple of days. It's that we will always get perceived by the other person, no matter what we say. So why not speak the truth?
Yes.
They're going to make up their own vision or their own version of what it is that you've said and agree with it or disagree with it. So why do we like continually hide to make people like us? Why do we create these stories to make people like us? But ultimately, if we just told the truth, the people that would like us for us will turn up and listen.
That's amazing. I love that. Which gets to something you talked about before, right? Which is, and by before I mean in our other conversation about the relationship between respect of empowerment and understanding, because that's also ultimately like what truth is. Like when you're telling truth, like when you're being true to yourself, you're respecting yourself enough. And when you're speaking truth to others, like you're doing the same for them. Like I respect you enough to speak the truth to you. Like I'm not going to hide from you because I respect you and our relationship so much. Or not, and I don't mean it so much in like, oh my gosh, leaps and bounds, right? But like, just in this, like, you know, just I have that respect for you, so I'm going to speak the truth in this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's it. And
go.
And within that, it's like understanding that the respect comes from both sides. So yes, speak your truth, but allow them to do the same. Don't stand so much into your, like speak your truth, and then don't stand into your ego where you're like, your truth is the only truth. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has their own truth. Everybody has their own mission. Everybody has their own purpose for being on this world. Like, everybody has their own likes. Like, they say that there's this whole thing about, like, the perfect image, the perfect this. Like, at the end of the day, my idea of what perfection is completely different to someone else's idea of what perfection is.
Yep.
And then speaking into perfection, it's like, I've also heard a lot of people go, well, perfection doesn't exist because everybody has different concepts of what perfection is. The truth is that it does exist because at every single second we're each the perfect version of each other.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to sit with that.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, yes, we're evolving and we're growing and we want to be better human, but right at this exact moment, I'm the most perfect version of Reese Hallett that there is on this planet.
Wow.
But there's nobody else like me, so how is there going to be anybody more perfect than me?
There it is. Okay, yeah. Well, and I talk about perfect and perfection in terms of, like we get glimpses of it, right? And you know, and I think part of this idea comes from what you're talking about, that perfect is different for everybody, like everybody's idea of what perfect is. Like to me, like yesterday out on the water with like my favorite humans, like, you know what I mean, like, and a dog, you know what I mean, like that, like, whew, like there was like a literal moment where I was just like, so this idea that like perfection or perfect is something that we get glimpses of, but I think by definition, like perfection as a like ongoing thing doesn't exist, because what you said, it's always changing. Like you are your perfect you right now. But you're going to get more information and you're going to have more input and have more, you know, that it's going to change you. And so what perfect looks like 10 minutes from now or a week from now is going to be different. So like, I love that. Like looking at perfect and best, those words, I'm using quotes. People can't see me, but Reese can. air quotes. like, they're sort of interchangeable, right? Like, best and perfect, like, they kind of are. Like, you're showing up, yeah. But, yeah, I think we just get glimpses of perfection, because I don't think that perfection at its fullness, right? Is sustainable in, or not sustainable, that's not the word I want, but I don't think that, I think we would be so overwhelmed. Like, I don't think that we are, as humans, can process that. Like, I look at that, like I was talking about this moment yesterday, right? And it was so amazing and beautiful and overwhelming, and that was just a second. Like, the idea of standing in that all the time, like, first of all, we'd get nothing done because we'd be so overwhelmed by like this, like, this is amazing. That you'd be in awe all the time. But also, like, if you were in that place where everything was perfect, you'd never recognize how amazing that moment was.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
exactly.
You can't be at this, like, everything is awesome, like, all the time thing, because then nothing's awesome. By definition, if we're, you know, if everything is this special, amazing moment, then none of the moments are special anymore.
And that brings me back to something that I heard a very long time ago, actually. It was at the pendulum swing. So it's, I heard this when I was actually learning how to do Forex trading, so foreign exchange trading.
Mm.
The pendulum swing, it doesn't matter how far you try to push it one way. As soon as something happens and you let go of it, it's going to swing the other way twice as bad. So it's not about always being positive. It's about understanding that there is going to be a bad time, but not being like, not allowing it to kill your vibe, allowing yourself to feel that emotion, that negative emotion for that time, feel it fully,
yes,
and let it go. And then your whole being and really understanding that it will swing back the other way. Yep. And the more you do that, the shorter the swings get, the slower the swing, like the closer the swings get together. And that's where your vibration and your consciousness levels up. And that's where you get into that next realm, because the speed that you're swinging between the two becomes so, so quick that it doesn't actually look like there's one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the way that you describe that, because certainly, like, that's a phrase that I've heard before and had, you know, almost thrown at me, right? Like, right. But like, yeah, like when you talk about it in those terms, that makes sense. Like that, like, yeah. Well, and again, to your point about balance is a flow and it's a shift back and forth, like, it's that same idea, right? Like,
exactly,
the good and bad, it's not just like masculine and feminine, but the good and the bad, like the hard and the happy and the sad, like those things, you are, you know, you're flowing back and forth between those things, and they're both going to happen. So it's how you, but if you pretend the hard things aren't hard, it at some point that catches up to you. Like if you're, so somebody, I know it's been said a couple places, but, somebody was talking about this on a podcast, Rob Bell actually, who talks about spirituality and he sees things through the lens of Christianity because that's his background, but he talks about them in a really open, expansive way, right? But one of the things he was talking about is like the balloon or the ball, right, on the water. Like if you're trying to hold it down, like if those are your bad things and you're holding it down It's just like the pendulum, right? Like, you let go, it's going to pop up. And it's not just going to pop up. Yeah. It's going to, like, hit you in the face hard. Like, but if you just let it bob, if you just sit there with it,
and
you're good,
and
man.
And that's the other thing, talking into that, is, like, when you are holding it down, it'll pop up when you least suspect it.
Yes.
And it'll get directed any which way it wants to. And that's where a lot of people will, like, go to work, they'll have a shit day at work, and then they'll come home, and before they let it all out, like, get rid of it, they come home, and then they release it onto their partner, they release it onto their kids, they release it onto their dog, they release it onto themselves. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't, if you continually hold on to it, with, like, even if it's in a situation where it's, like, it's not really appropriate to, like, a release anger, like, like, if a boss tells you off, you're not really going to turn around and start, like, throwing punches and going off.
And that's all that probably stuff. A good
plan. It's not 100% appropriate to do that. Like, you can say something.
Right.
It's about, like, knowing where, when you can do it safely, that it's not directed at other people. So that's why, like, the big thing that I like going into is primal screaming, or I like talking to people about, like, going to boxing. Like, I've done a few, like, sessions in my bedroom where, like, a few friends have gone through anger and stuff, and I was like, sweet, come on, drag them in my bedroom, and then they just start punching into a pillow.
Yeah.
Like, you're directing anger at something that's not hurting anybody else.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
I love
it. Yeah. Okay, so I have three kids, and we have been known to take screaming breaks. Like, we'll be driving in the car, and I'm like, okay, I'm pulling over. Like, I'm going to count to three, cover your ears, and I would just let it out.
Yeah.
And you know, probably should do it sooner than I do. I think usually when I'm doing it, it's in response to, like, energy getting out of control, but, like, like, going just like, ah, but oh my gosh, like, you letting that all out and watching the shift, like, it's, like, visible. And then everyone's good.
Definitely.
Everyone's okay again.
Yeah.
They got it out. And, like, that, yeah, no, I'm a big proponent of, like, letting that out in that way. And I think partially that one resonates with me, right? Because I am a big, like, I love words, and I think words are incredibly powerful. And they can, but they can be, they can, and that works both ways, right? Like, they can be really hurtful, and they can do so much more damage than we give them, than people acknowledge, I think, sometimes. But also, like, that sound, like, that audio quality of it, like, that scream as a way to release. And, but, like, my son will tell you, like, if he gets mad, he's like, I feel it in my hands. Right. And I'm like, cool, go find a pillow and punch that pillow, but you're not punching the wall, and you're not punching me or your sister, you know, like, go find your pillow. Like,
When you speak into it too, it's like, talking to my mentor, you know, in regards to it, is like, we've talked into it a fair bit, and the thing is like, most of us push it down, and when you keep pushing it down and piling it up, like, for us as men, we push it down so much that the leading cause of our death is bowel cancer.
You
know what I mean? Like, and that's where it all goes to, because that's where we're pushing all that energy to. That's where we're forcing energy, because we're pushing it down, constantly pushing down. As soon as you release it, all the pressure that's no longer in that area is ridiculous. Like, you feel like a completely different person, and it takes that strain off it. Like, I'm not saying that it's the cure for cancer.
Oh, right, right.
It takes that energetical pressure off it, that it's not going to cause you any miss, like, as they say, it's a dis-ease from energetical displacement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything, like, energy will go to wherever you, like, think of it, wherever you, like, direct it, and you're thinking, the energy will flow there. So if you're continually pushing it down, it's going to flow to the one spot that you don't need it to. Like, if it's constantly piling up and it's a negative energy, that's when you get the dis-ease in your body. Whereas if it's, like you say, like, with your wording and that, like, if you word things in a positive way, like, like instead of using but, you use and. Instead of using I can't, you just say like, well, I haven't got this.
Haven't yet.
Like, I get to do this. I get to, like, it's like, it's not here yet. Like, shifting it, it's still talking about the facts, but you're not saying that you're never going to get that. You're not going to have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it makes such a big difference in life, just the simple shift in the way you word things.
Yeah.
It's the difference between empowering words and disempowering words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. I love it. I really enjoy talking to you and hearing your, like, your way of approaching things and thinking of them. So I talk a lot about freedom and authenticity and, which is a very overused word, but people know what you're talking about when you say it. So I use it. But wholeness and, you know, that's it though. Like that's what you, that piece to me is what you talk about, like your wholeness, like embracing both and, you know, it's not an either or, it's a both and how that flows and how you get to, and I think there's a word you used earlier talking about playing, right? And like that, oh, like we lose that as we get older. You know, the more years we have behind it. Well, to a degree, right? I think, like, there's some wisdom that comes... We know there's wisdom that comes with age, but there's... And some people... But not everybody gains that wisdom. But the people... Like, you can look at people on the whole, like, if we're going to generalize a little bit. But there's this thing where, like, we play, we have fun. And then we're like, oh, my gosh, everything's super serious. And then we... Yeah. And then...
You forget how to play.
Yeah, as you get older, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should play again because that was stupid. It really wasn't that serious. Like, I was taking things way too seriously.
It's funny that we decide to take life so seriously when the whole saying is life is a game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a game. So why don't we just play it?
Yes. Yes. Like, just have fun with it. Enjoy it. And looking at it, right? Everything is an opportunity. Everything's a new adventure. Like, what could this bring me? Like, that's what kids do really well, right? They don't, they look for the fun in things and they look for the, like, why, the curiosity, the like learning, and they step into that, like this could be really cool, so I'm gonna do it. And if it's not really cool, they're like, oh, that wasn't that cool, I probably won't do that again. But but then they're like, ooh, something shiny over there, that might be cool. You know,
that's one thing that my nieces have taught me. So I got two nieces and a nephew. The one thing that they've taught me a lot is that it's okay to fear things, but never fear curiosity.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, if you fear curiosity, you're never going to experience an adventure and learn new things. Like, curiosity is honestly, like, yeah, they say it's the thing that kills the cat. Like, curiosity killed the cat. Like, but yeah, that's because the cat had fun. Like, at least it's going out without regrets, right?
Right. Well, and yeah, it may have killed the cat, but guess what? The cat was going to die either way.
Exactly.
Right? Like, there's not the story in which the cat, like, continued to live, like, forever, indefinitely. And so, you know, so yeah, it's making that choice. It's saying, well, I can step into this and look at this adventure and look at this opportunity and look at everything through that lens and look at, like, what cool stuff could happen if I do this? And like, like, not everything's going to be like, oh my, that was great. Like, you're not going to say that about everything that happens. That's okay though. You know, it's, you still tried it and you can still walk away from it. And like, and you know, like you were mentioning, like your nieces and nephew and like, yeah, like one of the things with my kids, we had this moment one day where they wanted to do something. And I was like, well, we really don't have very much time. Like, we could go, but we'd only be there for like 45 minutes. And they were like, and? You know what I mean? Like, they just looked at me like, and? And I was like, that's a good point. Like, so we'd have 45 minutes. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, all right, well, get in the car. Let's go. But also, like, I was just like, oh, thank you for that. Because now, like, I use that. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I'm really busy, but I can still hang out. Like, I wish I could have the whole day with you, friend, but I can't. But you know what I can have? I can sit with you fully for these minutes that we have.
Yeah.
And like, and oh, that's great.
That's like that whole story about that professor in the classroom with the glass jar and the balls and the sand and that.
Yeah.
And right at the end, it's always pours two cups of coffee in and goes, doesn't matter how busy you are, doesn't matter how much stuff you got on, you've always got time for a cup of coffee with a friend.
Yeah.
That's the thing is you don't have to be, like, everybody tries to do everything in quantities. You don't have to do it in quantities. If you're present enough and you give someone enough quality time, 4 or 5 minutes a day, if that's all you give someone, if that's all you've got time to give a friend or just whoever like needs it, they're a stranger on the street, that's enough, because you're present for those moments.
Mm.
It's one of them. It's more powerful than spending an hour with them and continually sitting in the back of your head going, oh, I've got to get this done. I've got to go to the shops. I've got to get this. I've got to buy this present for this person. Like, it doesn't work. Like, you're so distant when you're in that space. And that works for everything. Like, it's relationships, it's business, it's coworkers, it's friends, strangers on the street. Like, you go and get a coffee. When you're ordering, if you're present with that person for 5 minutes, the customer service that you will get from that alone is tenfold. That the next time you walk into there, they're going to remember you, and you're not even going to have to order your coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and truthfully, like, the next person in line behind you is probably grateful for the way you just interacted with them, because that person is now going to be that much nicer and gentler with them.
Exactly. It's about passing on. It's like I do it some days where, like, I don't necessarily have much time to give them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'll give them, like, a nice hi, like, but I'll be present for them for that moment. And every now and then I will actually pay for the person's coffee behind me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And just doing that will not just lighten the person behind me's day up, but it lightens the customer, the server that's given me my order. It'll lighten their day up and go, oh, someone's actually nice enough to buy someone else a coffee, and then they may pass it on down the track. And, you know, like, it's about continually flowing it on and giving it and passing it forward. Right?
Yeah, no, that's cool. I have my regular bank that I normally use. And then I have a bank that once a month I go to. It's just, this is how it works. And so, So I never see anybody in that place more than once a month. And if that person isn't working at that time, I wouldn't see them, right, for potentially months and months. But I, you know, trying to be present in that moment or whatever, the teller that I was working with me one day was in the midst of finals for his last semester of school. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, because I was just asking what he was up to or whatever. And I saw him like 2 or 3 months later. And I was like, you know, I asked about it. And he lit up. Like, he was like, oh, my gosh, like, how do you remember that? And like, thank you for thinking of that. And I was like, what? Like, because to me, I'm like, well, that's what you told me. And like, that's who you are. But you know what? And this is something I struggle with. I'm really bad with names. I'm horrible with names, but oh my goodness, can I do stories? I'm like, I know this and this about you, and I can tell you all these things, but shoot, what was your name again? You know,
I'm one of those ones. Like, I was a pretty avid drinker when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, I was, you could probably class me as an alcoholic. I was drinking a lot. But I was one of those people that would never forget a name or a face, no matter what. And I'd never forget anything that I'd done that night. Like, no matter how drunk I was, I'd still remember everything. So then the moment where I'd go out the next week and run into that person and have a whole conversation with them, and they have no idea who I am.
Oh, wow,
but
yeah.
I remember their name. So because I said their name, they're like, oh, I must have met him last week. And they're like best friends. Like,
yeah.
They're like instantly best friends. It's just remembering. And it's the simple things. Like, you don't have to remember the story. You don't have to anything. Like, I do it with coffee shop people. Like, I'll go up and buy a coffee, and I remember the person behind the barista's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, hey, how you going, Alice, or whatever it may be. Like, just say their name, and they light up so much because you've actually taken the time to remember them. They're not just another number. They're not just a server. They're not just, yes. They're actually a person.
Yes.
And they've been allowed to recognize that, because a lot of our day when we've been brought up is literally about, like, when we get brought up, it's like, go to work, do this, do that. That we're so focused on the stuff that we're supposed to do that we forget to realize that we're all human and that people deserve to have respect and be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, like, even if we ask those questions, it's always like a surface level question. It's like, oh, the weather's pretty bad today, or how's the weather, and that. But then, like, if we go into anything deeper than that, majority of the time, if we're in our own little world, we won't even listen to it. We'll just ask the question to be polite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's real. that'll be. Yeah. But connection, right? Like, that's what it's about. That's why these people are lighting up, because you're connecting with them in some way.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Because that's what we were made for. Like,
yeah.
We as humans are made for, built for, created for, whatever word or term you think in term,
yeah.
You know, whatever you use, but we're literally made for connection.
Yeah.
And we spend so much time getting caught up in all these things that tear us away from others or take our energy toward things or events, but not people. And then we wonder why we're upset or sad or frustrated or lonely. You know, it's that you can be in a room full of people and feel completely alone. Yeah, because you're not connected to any of them.
That's it. And I remember a while ago, like, I got asked, like, who my role model was. When you're in this conscious realm, it's like you never put anybody on a pedestal. You don't, like, you can idolize someone, but don't, like, you're the same level as them all the time. And I was like, so look, in my eyes, I don't really have a role model except for myself. Like, I'm my role model, the fact that I'm making the work. But then I was like, if I really had to choose someone, it would be my nieces and nephews.
Because
at the end of the day, I look up to them more because they're not afraid to make friends. They're not afraid to connect. They're not afraid to be curious. They're not afraid to love. And at the end of the day, every single one of us, at our core, all we are is love.
Yes.
That's our truth.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how we say that, our truth is love. Yet we continually try and love things rather than love ourselves to then be able to love a person.
Yep. I love that. So I want to – I know it's late for you, and I want to be mindful of your time, but I'm loving this conversation. So – let me ask you a maybe lighter question to sort of bring it around. So, like, what's your favorite thing? Like, what are you just jamming on right now? Like, and take that whatever way you want.
Right now, with everything that's going on, my favorite thing is actually quality time with my family.
Yeah.
I moved down the Gold Coast away from Brisbane, where all my family is, and I've been down here for the last 3 months. And I miss having the quality time with my nieces, my nephews. Like, one of my sisters I haven't seen since I moved down here.
Mm.
Like, I only got to see her yesterday because I had my goddaughter's sixth birthday. The connection that we have and understanding that, like, even though we go through so much shit and we can fight, my family's still always going to be there. They're always going to have my back. And just being able to chill with them and do nothing.
Yeah.
I just miss that. I miss that connection with them. And it's just, yeah, that's what I'm really, like, vibing with, because I'm actually in the middle of shifting back to Brisbane for business ventures and stuff like that.
Okay.
And yeah, I've spent the last 3 or 4 days just chilling with my nieces and my parents and my sisters and that, and it's just been the best fun.
Oh.
It's like, it's so good to spend time with friends and family and have your own space and that sometimes, even though they trigger the fuck out of you sometimes.
No way. That never happens with family. What are you talking about?
So sometimes it's just nice just to have a day where you're just chilling and you're just doing nothing. You can just, like, literally sit there and watch TV. It's just that quality time, being with my parents, being with my sisters, being with my brother. And it's just like, yeah, I'm really jamming with that. Like, it's been good. It's been really good fun.
Awesome. Well, I love that for you. I love that you have that, that you're enjoying that and able to sit in that space right now as you go through changes, right? Like, knowing that you have that stability is pretty cool. All right. Well, I am going to let you go. So I just want to thank you so much for making time for this and for bringing your energy into this space and being open through technology issues. but just, yeah, this was really wonderful. And before we jump off here, how can people connect with you? Well, I'll put it, you know, people have clickable links at some point when this goes live, but just verbally, how could people connect with you?
Best way really is to connect through, I'll be honest, like, Instagram is probably the easiest one for me. I don't really use Facebook that often anymore. I was just literally on there as Reese, R-H-Y-S underscore Halliday, H-A-L-L-I-D-A-Y 91. I put most of my stuff on there now. Other than that, if I'm on there and you send me a DM and you want to connect further, I can sort of out through phone numbers or WhatsApp or anything like that. I'm very much in the old school connecting ways. I'm not really on the social medias that often and stuff like that. I'm very, very old school in that sense, because I thrive on that face-to-face connection and that communication in that way.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you so much. And we'll be in touch. And I am
definitely.
I'm excited for everything that's going on with you right now. It sounds like there's some cool stuff happening. And I just want to thank you again. And I will chat with you soon.
I definitely will. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.